following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, good evening. May I ask you to please stand on your feet for a moment. We have a word of prayer. We will ask God to continue to bless us. This is a wonderful evening. What a beautiful sight to behold, the sky and the sun through the clouds, and you, your beautiful faces today. My name is Fausto Fluker. I am originally from Lima, Peru, and I'm here to give the resonancia, a Spanish resonance this evening. So if you can use your Google Translator, that will be very helpful. But if not, you can ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you today. Can I hear a sounded amen? Can you say three times, hola, hola, hola? Because that's what I would make me wonderfully at home today. Refuge family, that's what we are, a family. Huntington Beach, beautiful. Today we are going to be looking at a Psalm, Psalm 20. And it's a recall of a song to remember what God has done, His faithfulness through the years. In those moments that may bring back memory in your heart. It was back in the 70s in this area where I got saved because of Jesus People Movement. I was a teenager then. It's been so many decades already, I lost count, but it doesn't matter. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do I hear an amen to that? And this is resonance here tonight. And I pray that many of us will be ignited with a fire that will bring recollection of who Jesus is and who Jesus has been for you. Faithful, always faithful. And He knows what you're going through, and He knows your battles, and He knows your struggles, and He's here to help you because He's always ready, ever-present help in time of need. He is our refuge and our fortress. So tonight, as we're going to open the scriptures in the book of Psalms, Psalm 20, I'm going to say from the beginning, there is going to be an opportunity for a response. There is this beautiful tent here to my left. There's people that are ready to pray for you. And at the end of the message, hearing God's voice, sensing His touch, then I'm going to ask you to step out of your comfort zone and make that step forward, because it does make a difference. Perhaps you've been here week after week and you've heard messages. You've been touched by the music, by God's presence, this wonderful ambience here. But this is the time to respond to all that God has done and all that He's saying to you today. So would you please join me in a word of prayer? Bow your heads and open your hearts. Jesus, You are the reason of this resonance. And every time we gather together, every song, every word, every expression, every testimony, every story, Lord, You are the reason. And Lord God, I pray that You will just anoint our ears, our hearts, our lives, and that You will bring enlightenment as we read this wonderful Psalm 20. And God, I ask that You will bless us and bring us to the saving knowledge of You. As we look at Psalms, a song to remember and recall the spiritual strength and glory of those moments, glorious moments, when You have showed up and when You have become so real in our lives. Lord, we need to experience that today. Remember that today. We give You the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' most wonderful name. And if you agree with me, put your hands together and give Jesus our praise this evening of resonance, Wednesday night here in Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach, Refuge. You may be seated. Jesus saves. That's an important statement. Not only to hear it, agree with it, but to actually experience it in your own life. And in the life of your loved ones and of those that you wish they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Like I mentioned before, Psalms 20 is the title of this psalm, which is the same as several other psalms. Psalms 20. To the chief musician, the Psalm of David. And yet, the psalm itself is different today, notably because it is a voice of a multitude that prays on behalf of the King of Israel as he's ready to go into battle. This is seen in the way of how psalms speaks in the first person plural and in the first person singular in verse 1 through 5 and in verse 7 through 9. So it is likely the response of either David himself or the high priest on his behalf. And yet this is a psalm of David. Perhaps David took a moment of a spontaneous prayer by the people on his behalf and shaped it into a song to remember and recall the spiritual strength and glory of that moment. To recall, I'm inviting you tonight, and everyone joining us via internet and wherever you are, I'm inviting you to recall. Recall means to consider, to remind, to rehearse, to remember yourself as part of that spiritual strength and glory of glorious experience. God is faithful, and you all agree in saying yes. But may I ask you, do you remember when was he faithful specifically in your life, growing up, saving your life, bringing forth a supernatural act of God, protecting you, providing for you, bringing you a relationship that now has become a marriage of many years, the raising of children, grandchildren, in so many other ways? God is for us. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. He lifts us up when we need to be lifted up. He encourages us, just like David knew how to be encouraged in the Lord. And you may look at your surroundings today and you realize we are in a battle. Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus saying that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in the high regions. And it's like a hand-to-hand battle with enemies that you have no power to be able to conquer on your own strength or your human effort. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to rely on the faithfulness of God and His powerful love that radiates, that shining light that shuns away every evil force. So please let us go through these 9 verses of Psalms 20 together. I say it again, the Lord saves. The Lord saves His anointed. And we're going to be looking at these 9 verses. And we know that words are powerful. Words have meaning. And the Word of God has the power to save us and bring us to the saving knowledge of God and to renew us, to restore us, to bring us back to His fold. The people pray for the king. In verse 1 and 2, the praying, may the Lord answer and help. Verse 3, may the Lord receive sacrifice, offerings. Verse 4, may the Lord grant fulfillment. Verse 5, may the Lord answer prayer. Verse 6, the Lord saves His anointed. Verse 7, trusting in the name of the Lord. And in verse 8 and 9, the triumph of those who trust in the Lord. So tonight, God wants to remind us that He wants you to learn to trust in Him. As we look at verse 1 and 2, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. Take a look. May the Lord answer you. The only prayer that God will not answer is the prayer that you never utter. So pray. Ask. Present yourself before the Lord with your request. Here in verse 1, this is a prayer from the multitude or the congregation based on the use of we in verse 5. That God will answer the prayer of one who in context is the king getting ready for battle. You fathers, you are kings of your households. You ladies, you are queens. You are important people that people look up to you. You are a leader in your circle of influence. We know that you refers to one person because it is in the singular you, singular throughout, and identifies it in verse 6 as the Lord's anointed. Notice here, please, the picture is that of King David before battle. You and I may be coming out of a battle to get ready to go into another battle. Perhaps you're in the middle of the battle, the struggles, the difficulties, whatever kind of difficulty you may be facing, maybe relational, maybe at work, maybe ministerial, maybe in your mind, it may be in your heart, your emotions, your thought life, whatever it may be, there is a battle, but you must be ready for battle. Perhaps it has to do with the Syrians in 2 Samuel chapter 10. And at the tabernacle of God and offering prayers and sacrifices. So here is the onlooking multitude responding to the king's prayer with the cry, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble." What a wonderful expression for you to do when you see your spouse, when you see your children, when you see your pastors, your leaders, your teachers going through situations that require a reminder, a recollection. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Do you agree that this is a good prayer to utter? If you do believe that, say a big yes. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. It is one of the most stirring of the Psalms by its tense awareness of life and death issues soon to be resolved. We don't realize how fragile our lives are. We don't realize that tomorrow is not promised to any man. And every day should be lived in a way that you are mindful of the struggles and the battles that have to do with the intensity of life and death. I've been a pastor for so many decades, and I have seen many people who started right but then ended up by the wayside. Many who were disqualified from ministry, many who had fallen many different ways. It hurts to even mention it. People that walk alongside of you, people that were so on fire for the Lord, but what happened? You must be ready for battle. You must not be ignorant of Satan's devices. But we are not alone. Notice that with the eye of faith, we see that this also speaks to the great battle fought by one greater than King David, by Jesus. Can everyone say his name again? Jesus. Can you try one more time? Jesus. Jesus, the Son of David and the King of Kings. We can imagine this prayer being offered prophetically for Jesus as he pointed himself towards the cross. The cross, ladies and gentlemen, the cross, where for the very first time we saw the light, the cross of Calvary, where Jesus the Savior was hanging there, where he shed his precious blood that can redeem us and wash away our sins and remove the stains of our souls. It is the cross, the message of the gospel, where he would fight, Jesus, prophetically speaking, where he would fight the greatest battle against sin, death, and Satan's power. John the Apostle mentions that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. The devil came but to kill and to destroy and to rob. And we see that taking place all around us. We see people dying every day. We see people struggling with sin. So today, may we remember, may we recall, may we rehearse the message of the gospel. In all four Gospels, we see the proclamation of the good news of who Jesus is and what he came to do. We see in the book of Acts the propagation of the gospel spreading out. In the epistles, you see the explanation of the gospel, understanding what it means and how it can be manifested and experienced. In the book of Revelation, you see the consummation of the gospel. Dear people of God, it's all about the gospel. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for you, for me, and for everyone here." And this is a wonderful venue for us to invite people to come every time there is an opportunity for them to hear the gospel, to come to terms with the reality. There is hope, because there is a gift of faith that will provoke your hope to be awakened, to experience that love that comes from God, because God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for those who love, they know God. But those that do not love, it's because they don't know God. There's a lot of people that don't know God. And there's a place here, a refuge, where Jesus is here through the lives of everyone here to show God's love. So we see the answer, answer you in the day of trouble. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble, in the day that He will defend you. He will send you help. He will strengthen you. After the pattern of the Hebrew poetry, this idea is intensely expressed by the use of repetition with slight variation. Please notice this. David was about to lead Israel into battle, and he needed the help of God in each of these ways. You need the help of God every time. You need the help of God to raise your family right, to conduct them in the right way, to make the right decisions, right choices. And because King David was about to lead Israel as a whole into battle, the language, notice, is full of references appealing to the Lord as the God of Israel. Notice in your scriptures, the Lord using Yahweh, the covenant name of God, the God of Jacob, remembering Israel's patriarch from the sanctuary, calling to mind the tabernacle, the center of Israel's worship, out of Zion, referring to the hills of Jerusalem. So he says, may he remember, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. And now he says, may he, verse 3, may he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. May he remember all your offerings. Sacrifice was, as you know, commonly made at an important moment, and such as of the eve of the battle. This is a prayer for the Lord would say, as he received and sees the sacrifice of King David would make before war. You bring sacrifices of praises this evening. What we heard is sacrifice of praises. Lips that utter praises to Jesus, testifies of the Lord, tells the story of who Jesus is and what he came to do. All your offerings, Miha, which is here mentioned, was a gratitude offering. It is rarely used to signify a bloody sacrifice. And he says, may he remember and accept your burnt sacrifice. And this reminds us that not all sacrifices are accepted before God if they were not offered with faith. And in accordance with the Levitical system, they would not be remembered or accepted by God. Burnt sacrifice, the olah here mentioned, was bloody sacrifice. This is the blood of the victim was spilled at the altar, and the flesh was consumed. The place of faith was important in the Old Testament sacrificial system, and the one who brought the offering had to trust in the ultimate perfect sacrifice that God would one day provide, the one that each animal sacrifice pointed towards in Genesis 22 verse 8 and 22 verse 14. The prayer for acceptance of the burnt offer is very graphic, since the word render accept is literally steam fat. And the word Selah, as we all know, is the idea in the Hebrew for this word occurring 74 times in the Old Testament. It's for a pause, a silence before the Lord, to reflect, to think, to let it digest in your heart. Most scholars think of speaking of a reflective pause, a pause to meditate on the words just spoken. It may be also the responding of something that is of musical instruction, as musical interlude of some kind. And we take that Selah as an opportunity to consider Jesus all throughout the scriptures, all in New Testament, and see that this prayer was appropriate for him as he faced the cross. The prayer was worthy to be prayed, that God would indeed remember and accept the offering that Jesus made on the cross for you and me. Do you know Jesus? Do you know what he came to do? He came to die on the cross. But why? He who knew no sin became sin, so that we who were sinners would be called the righteousness of God. For so long we believed that everyone in America is a Christian. Or just by going to church, I think that I'm a Christian. I like going to church. I like going here. I like to go there. But that doesn't make anybody a Christian. But rather for you to believe, to trust and obey by a repentful heart, that you have changed your mind, changed your heart, changed direction in your life. Many people call themselves Christians. They continue to live the same life that they have always lived. Oh, there's an awareness. Yeah, I know God. Oh, yeah, well, He'll forgive me. Well, you see, it is interesting to know that when someone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away, and now all things are new. When I came to know the Lord Jesus, it was very clearly stated to me that I needed to repent of my sins. I needed to admit that I was a sinner. I needed to acknowledge that Jesus Christ came to die for me. And I needed to believe and to repent, which means sin no more. Turn on a different direction. And then open my heart and receive His love by receiving Him in my heart. And the Holy Spirit comes upon you, comes inside of you, because it's always been alongside of you. And that changes your life. One of the things that we'd like to state here tonight for all of you listening is this. Transformation takes place as it is also demonstrated by having passion towards God and having compassion towards people. Passion towards God and compassion towards people. If we are Christian but we don't care about our neighbor, we need to ask ourselves the question, why? If we say we are Christian but we don't seek Him with all of our hearts, we don't seek Him in the morning, we don't seek Him in the evening, we are not eager to want to spend time with Him, then how much do you really know God? I discovered that the more you know Him, the more you love Him. And the more you love Him, the more you want to obey Him. And as you obey Him, you experience His joy and the fullness of His life, His abundant life, new life, eternal life. So as all of this happens, you see that there is grand fulfillment. In verse 4, it says, may the Lord grant fulfillment. May He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purposes. There is a reason why you and I exist. There is a reason why you and I have become survivors of this age, of this pandemic, and all these crazy things that are happening. There is a reason why in the 60s and the 70s, there was so much turmoil and commotion. And this counterculture rose up as the hippies, the hippie movement, the rock and roll, the sex, the drugs. But yet, that was not the answer. But the answer came in the love of Jesus. Real love, real power, real intimacy with God, and through marriage, holy sacrament in the Scriptures. Please notice in verse 4, may He grant you according to your heart's desire. In this moment, looking back to King David, had one desire to defend the people of God and the kingdom in covenant with God. And therefore, it was good to pray, may He grant you according to your heart's desire. What is your heart desire this evening? Do you want people to come to know Jesus? You want people to be delivered from the bondage of sin? So many with problem with drug addiction, with pornography, with unfaithfulness, with lies, with cheating, and many other things. But Jesus came to set us free. Let us not forget that. May He grant you according to your heart's desire. I want my children to walk rightly before the Lord. I want my grandchildren to know God and to walk in holiness. I want my wife to be a godly, virtuous woman. I want myself to be a godly, broken man that depends on God every moment, every time, every day. So, and fulfill all your purposes. Since David's purpose was victory for the people of God, this was good and necessary prayer to pray. We see this statement also applied to the great desire and purpose for the King of Kings as He went to battle to accomplish our salvation. We look to Jesus struggling in the Garden of Gethsemane and say to Him, may He grant you according to your heart desire and fulfill all your purpose. Let's take a moment here on a personal level. We also see that God gives each one a purpose to fulfill in His great plan of the ages. However old you may be, think about it. How do you desire to live the rest of the years of your life? How many more years? What do you still haven't accomplished? What do you want in life? What do you expect from life? Many times we struggle because we don't expect problems or difficulties, but Jesus didn't offer us a life without problems or struggles. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Jesus is an overcomer, and he's making you and me as believers overcomers. Now, if you believe that, I'm going to ask you to put your hands together and give praise to Jesus, because he has made you an overcomer. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We have to know that and remember that on a personal level. Jesus knew this fulfilled desire and purpose, and he's shown by his prayer in John 17 when he said, I have finished the work which you have given to me to do. In John 17 verse 4. Also, the Apostle Paul knew this fulfilled desire and purpose shown by these words towards the end of his early life. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4:7. In verse 5, we will rejoice in your salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. This is wonderful. We will rejoice in your salvation. This was the confidence that the people had in King David's success. They had so much trust in God's deliverance that they had already planned to set up our banners of joyful celebration. A sense of anticipation. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, is the assurance of things that you don't see. Many times we want to first let it happen and then we rejoice. But what about rejoicing beforehand? Believing that God will do that. That's faith. The banners are our flags of defiance to the enemy, or are tokens of triumph of God's glory who has given us the victory. Many of us may have experienced having prodigals that have left your house, whether it's a male or female. Many people have experienced the breaking of their marriage. But there is hope, there is faith, there is promises. God restores, he renews, he can make he can bring beauty out of ashes. And he can make all things new. There is hope because faith in the Lord Jesus Christ says, Lord, I'm going to believe in your promises. The Bible says his promises are a yes and amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So now again here, the raising of the banner signifies God's victory over the enemies. The enemy is defeated. He's a defeated foe. We give him too much credit too many times. Many times it's our flesh. And we say, we blame the devil, we blame the devil, or we blame somebody else. Your petitions. In verse 6 says, the Lord save his anointed. Now I know that the Lord save his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Now I know that the Lord saved his anointed. Here, King David expressed the great confidence that God will answer the prayers of his people. God will save, rescue the king, his anointed. He's anointed in a sense, all of the kings of Israel, well, God's anointed because they were all appointed to their office by a little anointing of oil poured upon their heads. And this little, literal anointing with oil was a picture of the spiritual anointing with the Holy Spirit needed for their duty of leading the people of God as king. In saying he's anointed, David refers to himself as king. But notice also, the Lord saved his anointed. The Father saved the Son from sin. The Father saved the Son from pride. The Father saved the Son from self-reliance. The Father saved the Son from doubt. The Father saved the Son from failure. And the Father saved the Son from death by raising him from the dead. And he says he will answer him from the holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Notice, please, here, this confirms, this strengthens the idea that the Lord saved his anointed. Jesus saves. He's saved by an answer. God is not silent to his anointed. He's saved from heaven. God hears and sends help from his throne. He's saved with power, with saving strength. He's saved with skill and favor, with the strength that comes from his right hand. Everyone say with me, right hand. Oh, he sustains us with his right hand. With his right hands, he brings us to that overcoming experience. Verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. In whom is your trust this evening? In whom have you placed your trust?
because some trust in chariots, some in horses. David knew what kings and their people usually trusted in, human strength, and the way it is often expressed in chariots and horses. Perhaps for you, money. Money, prestige, power, and many other things. But in writing today, David might say something like, some trust in nuclear weapons and some trust in tanks. It is part of human nature to put our trust in such things. Chariots and horses are very terrible, especially to raw soldiers unaccustomed to their whirling onset by the name Mightier. But we will remember. You and I are called to remember tonight. David drew a strong contrast. They trust in those things, but our trust is in God. Bringing it to a close, I challenge you today to put your trust in the Lord, to step back and take a look at your life and how important it is to make recollection, make a moment of remembrance how God has been faithful to you, and to renounce to all confidence in the wisdom and strength of nature and the world, and to remember that we can do nothing but in the name, by the merits, or through the power, and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Notice here, David put his trust in the person, the character of God. Doesn't matter how you and I may think or how much we may know. It's about God. It's about Jesus hiding behind his name, his power, and just surrendering completely to him. He didn't carry the name of the Lord as a magical incantation. Rather, the name speaks of the comprehensive character of God and is an expression of his faithfulness to his covenant with Israel. By the name of God, it's generally understood in Holy Writ that the various properties and attributes of God, these properties and attributes make up and constitute the name of God. As when Solomon says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous runneth into it and it and is saved. The character and faithfulness of God. I really want to consider the importance of you remembering how faithful our God is. He has been faithful throughout generations. He's been faithful throughout your life. And this is the time to put your trust in him, in his wonderful faithfulness. Paul says he is even faithful when we are unfaithful. He still remains faithful. So he says, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Verse 8 and 9, they have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Of his right hand, and this is important for you, save, Lord. May the king answer us when we call. May the king answer us when you call. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. David's trust in God could be justified on many grounds, but the one of those was the simple truth that David found, that trusting God works. And if you will remember something about this evening, through everything that went on, remember, God is faithful. And you and I must learn to trust in him no matter what. Those who trust in chariots and horses have bowed down and fallen. Those who remember the name of the Lord have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the king answer us when we call. Notice the rescue David confidently sung of had not completely come. He still needed to cry out, save, Lord. He still had his trust in the anticipated answer of the Lord. And notice, please, this is the language of faith. Not after the battle, but before it. May I ask you to please stand with me on your feet. The final phrase, literally, in the day of our calling, has a telling echo or resonance of the opening verses. Because God is on the throne, and he's watching over us right now. Lord, save your anointed one. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and as we are going to have a song of invitation right now, like I told you at the very beginning, this is the time to respond to God's word and God's message. This is the time that you have as an opportunity being brought to you tonight to just not let it be just another night. You want to step out of your comfort zone, out of your own place of security and comfort, and step out. And I'm going to ask you to just come here to the front as a way of saying, yes, I believe Jesus is faithful. I believe God has spoken to my heart, and I want to respond to his call. I want to respond to the invitation to trust in him and not to trust in myself or in my own personal intuition. And right now, as the Holy Spirit is moving in this place, you might need healing, you might need forgiveness, you may need restoration in your heart, in your mind, in your family, with your children. You may want to pray for your prodigals, you may want to pray for people who are sick in hospital beds or even at home. And this is the time to come together as a body of believers, as a family that we are gathered together. Please begin to step out of your seat and come here to the front. We'll have a moment of prayer, and then we're going to have a time special to pray specifically for you personally. Begin to come right now in the name of Jesus. Just begin to come. Don't wait to see somebody coming and then you come in. It's between you and God, and you make that step forward right now. Begin to come right now. Just come. Yes, Lord, I believe in your faithfulness. I believe in your power. I believe in your love. Just begin to come. Just from the back, from the bottom, from the middle. Just come. Why? Because we want more of God. We want to trust in God. I want to obey him. I want him to be real in my life. I want to recall. I want to remember. I want to rehearse what it's been and what God has continued to do. Just begin to come here to the front. Many of you may be battling with this because they say, hey, this is not a call for salvation. It might be. There may be people who may not know the Lord. And right now, this is the time to admit that you're a sinner, that recognize that Jesus Christ died for you. Or this may also be a time where you just say, Lord, I want to renew my heart with you. I want to renew my commitment to you. Is there anybody else right now? Just come forward. It's between you and the Lord. Sing that song. May the Lord answer you in time of trouble. All of us are going through times of trouble, difficulties, sickness, and disappointments, and problems at home. Why not respond to this moment? Just come. Many of us more. Just come in the name of Jesus. As we sing this song, then we're going to make the way to come to the tent here to my left, where they're going to be praying for you specifically. For those that came and kind of stood in the first row, now just make your way over here, and we're going to sing this song. Let's worship the Lord in spirit and truth.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.